Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Dr. Shay Connon, Chief Executive of 3D BioTissues, and Jeff Baker, Director of BSF Enterprise. Welcome, gentlemen. How's things?
Very well, thank you.
Right.
Good.
Thank you.
Good. Well, I'm sure you've got a smile on your face, both of you. Obviously, just today it was announced that 3D BioTissues successfully produced the UK's first steak fillet of structured cultivated meat. The fillet of pork produced in 3D BioTissues Newcastle lab was cooked and eaten by the subsidiary's management team. This news is further to the company's announcement in November in which three prototypes of lab-grown meat have been produced. Do you want to just take us through how significant today's news is, starting with you, Shay, please?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. It is very significant. It's the first UK and we believe the world demonstration of a new technology that allows you to create this meat as you know it, or 100% meat. Where we're pushing the boundaries is that unlike what we've seen of other producers, we're not using additional either vegetable matter or collagen or gelatins and animal proteins in there to add bulk and give the resulting tissue its structure. Our process, which I can go into, allows us to create this 100% meat. So all of the structural elements that you find in meat, and bear in mind that it's actually mostly the structural parts of meat that you appreciate. There's a flavor, of course, it's a kind of liquid side of things, but it's actually the bite that's really, really critical. And that's what our technology allows us to do, generated from the cells themselves. So nothing external in there.
Great. So tell us the atmosphere and what it was like when all of your hard work was coming to fruition, when you guys were testing this.
Well, I was a little anxious, we're in safe hands with Chief Scientific Officer Dr. Ricardo Grovier. He's led on the scientific aspect of and managed the lab to do it, and he was the chef de jour of the day, and he was very confident about it. I knew it would work, but of course quite a bit of effort has gone into doing it, but I was extremely, extremely pleased with the results, as well as anybody else who was there and tasted it. It was people, you know, we all went back for seconds. It really was delicious.
Great. And was it designed to be a specific type of cut, or just of pork in this situation?
It was designed to be a steak. Yeah. So a pork steak. So to have that texture, the ability to cut it, and the way it held, and the way it chewed, and also the flavor as well.
Yeah, so I guess cruelty-free, tastes good, has the mouthfeel, as I think you've alluded to before, the aroma, yeah. Texture, sears easily, caramelizes. I mean, what's not to like?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. It's my first time for tasting any of the lab-grown meats, even the ones that don't have the same structure. And blown away, really. It was everything I'd hoped for and more.
Yeah. So you've obviously, that was a lab-based, not say experiment, but obviously result. When can we expect the showcase event that obviously you alluded to in the news release?
Yeah, that's planned in the next few months. We're still working up the kind of how it's going to run. But yeah, in the next 2 or 3 months, that's the plan.
I'm waiting for my invite, Shay. I'm happy to be a guinea pig.
I saw that in there and thought third party would be something. I thought Kev's the perfect candidate for that role.
True, absolutely. So the share price has reacted today into the 20s now, 22p. So you've probably got a market capitalization of somewhere in the region of, I think, 18 to 20 million pounds now. But I was reading an article about a company in the US, Eric Schultz, I think it is, and the company's Upside Foods, and he's raised $600 million in November, and they've just produced themselves lab-grown chicken. So how do you feel that the valuation now sits with your company compared to what's going on over in the other side of the Atlantic?
I think everyone recognises here in the UK and Europe that the values in this industry in the US are probably 10 or 20 times higher than what you can get on a market here in the UK. It's interesting dynamic where the knowledge of investors is far greater in the US in this industry, which is fast moving and got huge potential. It's almost like the internet of the 90s, picking the right company to back with the right technology will be incredibly meaningful for the next decade or so. It's technology that is much the same, although Shay has touched on where we are a lot different to most, if not all of the other lab-grown meat companies. We're breaking new ground, and where BSF Enterprise, the listed company that owns 3D BioTissue, is very proud of the leading scientific team with Shay leading them up in Newcastle, who have brought this technology to reality and enabled everybody here in the UK to see the great strides the company's been making.
Yeah, I mean, it goes on to say in this article that McKinsey's estimate that there'll be $25 billion in this business by 2030. Now, that's only 7 years away. So there's going to be some exponential growth in this business over the next few years. So this is obviously one step that you're talking about. But tell us, Shay, what else the company can do other than the meat. I don't want to take away completely from the meat, but I just want anyone who hasn't listened or doesn't know about the company, just the other aspects of it. Obviously, the city mix. We're talking about the leather as well, and maybe the corneas.
Well, I think the city mix is a good place to start. So that's a media supplement that allows practically to reduce the costs of the media. It does two things. It reduces the cost of the media, but and also increases the yield. So the amount of cells and the amount of proteins that those cells produce. That's a real benefit to us in terms of enabling us to make these full-scale fillets. But it also is a standalone product which we're currently selling, and it enables others to make similar reductions in the cost of their media. There's also been a report out by GFI in the last few days, again highlighting that the media costs, so these are the liquid soup that the cells are grown in, represents anything between 50 and 80% of the total operating costs. And it actually went on to say that actually it doesn't really, to some extent, doesn't really matter how or what size bioreactor you're growing them in, it's the cost of the media that are the main biting point. And so City Mix is able to reduce those costs hugely by allowing people to use less, much, much less of the expensive components that make up media. So that's really an exciting part of the business, and also allows us to access near-term revenues as well as de-risking the overall offering. This is very much in need now, and you know, it's being tested at the moment, and we're getting some very, very positive responses back. So that's great. We also can use that. So we developed it actually for our own purposes in generating the pork fillet and et cetera. But we also then can use it in our skin products. So this is the skin again to make lab-grown leather, and also you can use it in other tissue engineering products such as the cornea. So it's a versatile material, and one we've got a lot of faith in, and expects a lot of interest, continued interest in that.
Yeah, if you can produce, you know, snake skin, alligator skin, all of the fancy skins, and I presume perfect, then the top end fashion companies are surely going to be extremely interested in this. I know you made reference to this in one of the RNSs previously. So has there been any more movement on that, or is that something that's going to happen in the not too distant?
It should be something that's happening in the not too distant. Yeah, there's progress being made, but not ready to share that yet, unfortunately. But it'll be okay. Pretty soon.
Very good. Well, from my perspective, looking at the valuations on this type of thing across the ocean, you are very much at the start of the journey. And I'm looking forward to tasting this. And then I presume after that, we get some. I mean, in the US, they were talking in the article about FDA approval. So what sort of approval would you seek to have, Food Standard Agency or what in the UK, to say this can be eaten by everybody, basically?
Yeah, typically the regulatory authorities are looking at the entire process. So it has to go into a process to get to be then part of their submission. but we're not expecting any problems with that. We're using less material in our process to create the structured meat rather than the unstructured ones. And we know that the city mix, of course, it's chemically defined, it's food safe, been used in the food and cosmetic industry for over 50 years or more. So we don't have any concerns about that. But it's not for us as a technology supplier, it's not for us to provide the approval. We need to provide them with assurances that, you know, what we're doing and how you do it are not going to create any problems.
Yeah. Okay. And I mean, I think the final thing I would say is that the environmental impact of this, how do you see that playing out as this meat sort of, and meat as we know it actually, you know, comes onto the market? I mean, we talked in previous interviews that you can actually specify the type of product that you will grow. You know, so you can grow a ribeye steak, you can grow a fillet steak, you know, so it would be the best cuts, I suppose, that could be grown. How beneficial to the environment is that going to be?
Well, one way, there's lots of ways of looking at that. And I think a good example is that it took us 1 month to create the steak, where it takes 6 months to do that in the real world with a pig. So you're already significantly reducing the amount of effort. We also know that we had a very highly efficient system in converting nutrients into meat biomass as well. So efficiencies, those levels look extremely good. The bigger cost savings and real effect, of course, is when you scale any of these things up to address larger markets. That's where, you know, the big dents in greenhouse gas emission, et cetera, will come online.
Yeah, because I presume that there isn't any greenhouse gases or anything of the kind, like the methane that the cows make themselves or the pigs come to that, actually it doesn't occur during this process.
No, but as I said, it's when you start digging into these, it's quite complicated because there are materials used, etc. It certainly will be more environmentally friendly than traditional agricultural practices.
Yeah, and I suppose ultimately the people also get to choose in terms of cruelty as well, because no animal has died in this process.
Yes, certainly it's no need for any animal to die during the process, that's correct.
So maybe we could even convince Jeff to eat meat again.
Absolutely, I'm looking forward to it.
You don't have to do it, Jeff, I'm here.
Good. Well, on that note, I think we'll wrap things up and say, Dr. Shay Conan and Jeff Baker, thanks very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you both.
Thanks, guys, and congratulations. It's quite a move, I think, in terms of a way forward.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly is. Thanks.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.